Well, we are studying the book called Love and Law by Ernest Holmes. And this particular book was unpublished teachings. They were lectures that he gave in the some of the practitioner classes that he taught. So he was teaching the students that were more advanced, particularly in the Monday night sessions that this chapter was from. And he was really excited about the people that were in the class and eager to see what results they could get from practicing science of mind. And so he was definitely encouraging the people to experiment with it and see what they could make of it, to see if it would work for them. And that's how I feel about science of mind. If you can make it work for you, it's for you. And if it doesn't work for you, find a place that makes you happy, because we are not convinced we are the only path. We are one path, and it's a great path, but it's not everybody's path. But this, in this chapter, he's talking to the people who are already committed to this path. And so he titled this chapter, Attracting the Great Big Things. And when I was looking at it, I picked out that he was talking about expansion of consciousness, that if you want to attract bigger things, you have to expand your consciousness to allow the receiving of bigger things. But then, as the month that I've been working on it went on, I had a couple of contrasting experiences in my own life where I needed to look at things from a broader perspective and expand my understanding of what was happening to me, because it looked like something was going wrong. And my favorite line is, even when it looks like something's going wrong, it's actually something in the process of going right from a broader perspective. So you have to practice that expanded consciousness and get that broader perspective to see what's going on. The other thing is that as soon as I make a commitment to start working on a talk, I start attracting all sorts of things. And the first thing that came in the very morning that I had on my schedule to start working on this talk, I got a note from the Tut.com people, Mike Dooley, and he said, believe what you want, give your permission, and don't be afraid to go big. So I said, okay, this is about going big, so go big or go home. Okay. So I started attracting these things. And that afternoon, I was visiting with a friend of mine, and she gave me a book. And I probably wouldn't have picked up the book on my own, but it's the book called Becoming from Michelle Obama. And I'm in love with this book. I'm in love with Michelle Obama. She's a fabulous writer. And as I read that book in conjunction with this book, I just had these zingy things happen about expanded consciousness and attracting big things, because Michelle and Barack Obama attracted a whole lot of big things in their lives. And so I thought, well, I wonder what I can learn about attracting big things by reading about their experience. And so I have interspersed a couple of quotes from there with the quotes from Ernest about how to attract big things. So let's start there, and then we'll get to the contrast stuff after we cover that. Ernest said in this book, to become alive and build the greatest lives, we must become something more, something worthwhile. There is not a day in my life that goes by that I do not take the time to unify myself and my consciousness with big things, to think I am one with all activities, all industries, all commerce, and just feel that thought reaching out and encompassing the largest fields of activity of the world. Then you are one with the infinite stars in the heavens. And that is to see things. It is our mental attitude that decides what we are to become and nothing else. And I was touched by that is to see things, to become one with the stars in the heavens and to see things, because it's all about perception. Shifting our perception is such a powerful, powerful experience. And we don't shift our perception until we change our consciousness. So it's about making a change in what we see. He went on to say, the individual who gets the biggest concept of what we call life is the one who gets the biggest flow into his or her word and therefore has the biggest power. We are too little, too picky-unish, too personal. We've got to accept things in a big, big way. My idea of health is that health is. It is complete. It is being. So we often say we're not trying to create something we're not. We're trying to perceive something that already is. And the wholeness of life already is. We may not be experiencing it because we may be blocking it by beliefs in limitation and lack. But if we can open ourselves to believe in the wholeness, it can be revealed through us. One of my very favorite quotes from Ernest is actually a paraphrase of a much longer, more poetic paragraph. But he said, essentially, there is nothing to be disintegrated or reintegrated. There is only that to be revealed, which has always, bless you, always been whole. And so we are revealing the wholeness. As we go forward in life, we are allowing that wholeness to be revealed that has always been there. And that's an exciting thought to me. He said, remember, if you want to get a big thing, you have to expand your consciousness so you are able to receive a big thing if it were to come to you. Then activities in our affairs in all things, we must first enlarge our consciousness but by reaching out in mind more and more and more. Bless you. Realizing we are dealing with the only power there is and then trying to feel we are connected with it and know it knows and understands and receives our thoughts. So that essence of life, that eternal source, is ever ready to understand, receive, and give back to us what we are speaking our word into consciousness. But we have to start it. We have to believe it. We have to see it. So he went on to say, you are using a power which is, and you have a right to use it. And it will reach right up to your ability to use it. So the limitation is your use of it, not the power itself. It is limited by our mental concept, he said. While it is the power that makes the planet and everything on it, it makes you and it makes me. When it comes to working in our lives individually, over our conditions and over our bodies, it can only flow through our consciousness, no other way. And what we want to do is to provide that great big consciousness within, make our unity with big projects, big things, big enterprises. And so I was reading this book with that in mind, and this piece came up. It was before Michelle and Barack got married, and they were living together at that point. And she said, I sensed already that he was more at home with the unruliness of the world than I was, more willing to let it all in without distress. I woke one night to find him staring at the ceiling, his profile lit by the glow of streetlights outside. He looked very troubled, as if he were pondering something deeply personal. Was it our relationship? Or the loss of his father? Hey, what are you thinking over there? I whispered. He turned to look at me, his smile a little sheepish. Oh, he said, I was just thinking about income inequality. This, I was learning, was how Barack's mind worked. He got himself fixated on big and abstract issues, fueled by some crazy sense that he might be able to do something about them. This is how his mind worked. He got himself fixated on big and abstract issues, fueled by some crazy sense he might be able to do something about them. So he was already contemplating the mega arena of what was big to him. And what was big to him was empowerment of people at the local level. He had started out working in communities to get people to register to vote and to feel like they were empowered in some way. So to go back to Ernest, he said, so all the time we must be expanding our consciousness, and you've got to take time to do that. I don't know of any shortcut to consciousness. Consciousness has got to be developed by persistence, by endeavor, by maintaining an even temperament within yourself. You've got to be on good terms with yourself most of the time. That's not easy. There are not many people who are that way. Let yourself have a chance. Never condemn yourself. Forgive yourself if you've done something wrong. That is right. We have the power to forgive ourselves. So set yourself right. And I had also been looking at Abraham Hicks quotes, because that's my other most common teacher in my life. And this is what Abraham said, and this is when I had started looking at what do we do when contrast shows up and it doesn't look like we want it to look. The big things aren't coming, and some things that are coming are maybe big, but they're not what we want. And this is what Abraham said. The thing that we want you to understand is when you get into that point in your life where you decide nothing should ever go wrong, you are on the wrong side of creation. That's kind of a startling statement. When you decide nothing should ever go wrong, you're on the wrong side of creation. Because here in this environment in which you are creating, there are all kinds of options that give you clarity about what you want. We want you to lighten up and stop asking yourself to be on the cusp of perfection at all times. Hi. Welcome, Nam Shakti. I'll introduce.
From California, so when it snows, to me, it's like, so I thought it was going to snow a lot, and then I looked outside, it wasn't snowing, then I'm like, okay, I can
go. Cool. Sorry. We're glad you're here. I'm reading a quote from Abraham Hicks that was contrasting and amplifying a quote from Ernest Holmes that I just shared.
Okay.
Abraham said, we want you to lighten up and stop asking yourself to be on the cusp of perfection at all times. It's not logical in this contrasting world in which you live. We just want you to take what's happening lighter. We want you to release the tension within you and stop holding yourself to perfect standards and instead accommodate the magnificent life. You accept that the magnificent life you are living is always working to accommodate you. Always working to accommodate you, no matter how it looks. No matter how it looks. So we said earlier, even when it looks like something going wrong, it's actually something going right from a broader perspective. And so we are learning to embrace that broader perspective, as Ernest's been talking about. Expand our consciousness so that we can believe in this beautiful universe that is working to accommodate us, no matter how it looks. That's a powerful thought, and it helps us relax when stuff starts falling apart around us. It's like, oh, okay, there is a bigger picture here I'm not seeing yet, But I'm willing to see the bigger picture. I'm open to seeing a better, deeper, more powerful way of seeing what it is that I'm looking at here. There is more to this story than I'm embodying at this point. And so after we have done these things, we've worked to expand our consciousness, we have found a way to be more gentle and kind to ourselves, forgiving ourselves and trusting more. Then Ernest says, in perfect calm confidence and perfect trust in yourself, wait. No matter how big a thing, you've got it. Forget it. It's just as easy to demonstrate a big thing as a little one. The whole thing must be done without a sense of strain. God does not struggle. God just knows. And when we give a treatment, there should be no sense of strain or strife, but only a sense of confidence and perfect peace, which is born of inner conviction. So developing that inner conviction is such a powerful thing. That is what we want to do. And then another quote from Becoming by Michelle Obama. As I was working on this chapter from Ernest Holmes, I was also reading this book and looking for indications of the consciousness that helped them develop big things in their lives. And so Ernest just said, in perfect calm confidence and perfect trust in yourself, wait. I need to stretch to embody that. Just wait. And this is what Becoming says. In a nutshell, Barack believed and trusted when others did not. He had a simple, buoying faith that if you stuck to your principles, things would work out. Yeah. Believe and trust when others do not. So back to Ernest. Just feel that you've passed over this whole thing to the infinite power, and just feel that it's been taken up and done. We have no personal responsibility. We know that beyond it all is the infinite intelligence and power and love of spirit, the God of all life and activity and all power and all love, the irresistible power of spirit which sweeps before it, that knows everything and knows all, knows it is done. Yeah, when we get to that place, it is done, right? When we get to that place, it's done. So back to my life. During this time in the last month or so, a little longer than that maybe, I went and had a regular checkup at my doctor's, and they said, good to go, just go ahead. And then they called me and said, oh, by the way, your test didn't come back good, and things are not looking good for you. And that was a surprise to me, because I thought I was fine. But they said, your cholesterol and triglycerides are high, and we want you to come back in 6 weeks and get tested again, because you need drugs otherwise, if you can't use diet and exercise to get it under control. And that could look like something going really wrong. But it almost didn't even take a second for me to realize that I had been very aware that I'd been eating lunch almost every day with a guy whose idea of lunch was hot dogs, pizza, and French fries. And that it wasn't the least bit surprising that I was showing negative results in my blood tests. But I had wanted to change that, but he is such a loving, powerful presence in my life, and he would buy the French fries and say, but I bought them for you. And the guilt would kick in, and I would eat the French fries. So what happened is the doctor gave me permission to tell him I can't eat that. I'm not supposed to eat that. And so I've lost 15 pounds, and I'm feeling better than I've had than I have felt in a long time. And I'm trusting that everything is flowing perfectly, because I could see the bigger picture. I knew what I was doing wasn't good for me, and yet in the context of a gentle relationship that I enjoyed and wanted, because he also walks 3 miles with me every morning, so I wanted to continue that, but I wanted to break away from the French fry eating and the pizza. So that's working beautifully, because now I have an authority figure to quote when he brings me, as he did yesterday, an advertisement for no sugar chocolate that's healthy. He said, "I'm going to buy you some of this." I said, "No, please don't." Admittedly, it doesn't have sugar in it, but I've been off chocolate for like 5 weeks now, and I want to continue in that direction. So everything's always working out for our well-being and our benefit. And if we just go with the flow and we don't judge it and say, well, there's something wrong with this picture, I shouldn't be having this experience, and judge myself for my previous decisions, I wouldn't be strong now to make other choices and to do this very differently. So this is what Abraham said. Ebb and flow is a good thing. And sometimes there's something in your vortex that you've clearly asked for that you haven't had the life experience yet that clarifies it to the specifics. So your own inner being will call you to and then through contrast for that clarifying experience. And certainly that was a clarifying experience for me and for my friend. And I've noticed how many of my friends are enablers. I'm going to do some traveling in April, and on the first day there, my friend's picking me up at the airport, and she said, I'll pick you up at the airport, and then I'm going to take you to my favorite restaurant in Orlando. And I said, well, you know, there's really limitations on what I'm eating these days. And she said, well, it's only one lunch. And I said, okay, now I know what I'm up against when I go to lunch with her. And it's all good. It's all good, and I'm really changing the way I make these choices, and it feels really good to me to make those changes. And I also noticed that yesterday I normally have about 8,000 steps, and yesterday I had well over 11,000, so my energy level must be increasing, because my activity level is certainly increasing. And so that's clearly something that's going right. And I'm delighted about that. And I'm expanding my consciousness of what health means to me right now. Certainly I'm obsessing about food 24 hours a day, because you have to shop for it and prepare it and clean up after it. And I'm still not cooking much, but I'm finding ways around that. But everything is unfolding perfectly in our lives. And if we can just stay comfortable and stay relaxed and move with that flow of whatever it is that's happening, it can be a really, really good thing. The other thing that happened is that my kitty got sick. Now, I had a perfectly healthy kitty. I took her to the vet, and I brought her home with 2 prescriptions, which made her deathly ill. It was all very strange. But I let myself kind of get caught up in the consciousness of we've got to do this. She's losing weight. There's something wrong. And my cat spent 4 days literally in my bed under the covers. She came out to eat and use the cat litter, but other than that, she did not come out. She didn't purr. She didn't play. And then she started sneezing. She came down with some kind of respiratory infection. All the while she was under the covers of the bed, and I wasn't sick, so I don't know how all that happened. But I thought something clearly is wrong here, and I stop the medicine. And this morning, she woke me up at 6 o'clock in the morning to play with her. She's back to herself. But trusting that I knew better than the expert was an important experience for me. And the reason he gave her the medicine is that she was over-grooming. She was taking fur off of her legs, and I was worried about that. But I realized that the cure was way worse than the disease and that I needed to shift my perception that she is perfect doing her thing and she doesn't need steroids or antidepressants, which is what they gave her. She was clearly depressed. Well, she was depressed when she was under the covers in the bed, I promise you that. That was hardly valuable. So it taught me another lesson, because when I brought home those meds, I thought, I don't feel good about this. This doesn't feel like it's really the right answer for this kitty. But I thought, well, he knows what he's doing. Well, in my case, in this cat, he didn't. And so that was to feel good about following my own guidance under those conditions was important. And I got my kitty back. She met me at the door 4 times yesterday. She didn't meet me at the door for 4 days during that time, and that's not good. That's not who she is. So, the other thing that came up while I was reading all of this is reading the Becoming book particularly. Michelle and Barack talked a lot about influencing other people and making a difference in the world and being on purpose. And those are big concepts, big ideas. And they made endless decisions to say, I would rather be this than that. I would rather focus on community activism than corporate lawyering that makes 4 times as much money, but this feels better to me in my life. And so as I was looking through some of the things that Abraham said, a couple of things about making a difference spoke to me. So I just wanted to share those. Abraham said, when you stand here in your flesh, bone, and blood, vibrational transmission, within alignment, your friend can find you when he can't find his own inner being. And so that's what a practitioner is and what a practitioner does. We are specifically trained to see the wholeness when someone else is seeing the conditions. But you don't have to be a trained practitioner to do that. If you look for the best in everyone, and Abraham said, to evoke the best from others, you must find a vibration that is a match to the best in others. And so when we are in connection to Source, when we are in alignment, when we are aware with the oneness of the divine, then we can see that divine in other people. We can share this knowing, this expanded consciousness that we develop. We can share that with another person. One time in meditation, I was thinking about this kind of thing, and I asked, you know, what is all this about? And the answer I got was, you see connecting with Source as a vertical connection. It's not, it's everywhere. But that's it's a worthwhile analogy. You see yourself connecting to Source. But once you connect to Source, you have the capacity to connect heart to heart with other people. And so when you have that connection, you have the capacity to share it. And so it's not selfish to make your own alignment important to you, because if you give up your own alignment, you have nothing to offer somebody else. So doing the work yourself, taking the time to expand your consciousness, taking the time to contemplate bigger ideas, taking the time to pray if you are so inclined to do spiritual mind treatment. The energy that you use to do that then becomes who you are going out in the world. And I got a note this week from a client I talked to who I hadn't spoken to in about 5 years. And she just got herself in a mess. And she said, "I always call you when I get in a mess." I said, "Well, I guess you've had a good 5 years." And she said, "I've been able to get myself out of it until today. But I'm glad you're here so that I could talk to you today." And she sent me a note afterwards and she said, "You always remind me about the brilliant and beautiful being that I am." And so she could then see herself as I was seeing her. And it changed everything. She said, "I've written down 4 or 5 different things I can do this week." And my sister came over, and her sister had actually called me to see if I was still doing sessions so that she could pay for her sister to have a session, because she knew she needed something. And she said, "And my sister went over my notes with me, and she's going to do the processes with me." And so it passes from one to another. One gets more connected and passes it to the next one and passes it to the next one. And that's how we uplift each other. The energy that we bring is always going to make a difference if we're connected. So making ourselves a priority, our practice, our process, however we find our alignment, that has to be the first thing. And then everything else follows after that. And everything else is different after that, because that's where the leverage is. That's where the energy is. That's where the flow of life is. And I had copied a beautiful, another quote from Abraham. "You intended to come forth into the physical realm of contrast to define what is wanted, to connect with the energy that creates worlds, and to flow it toward your objects of attention. Not because the objects of attention are important, but because the act of flowing is essential to life." That's what I wanted to say today. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Wow.